There's no debate about trap music. The first person to say trap music as a genre was T.I., and he and DJ Toomp created a sub-genre within hip-hop called trap music. Now, trap music has been done well and perfected by a lot of people, from Jeezy to Guwap, you know what I mean, to one of my favorite trap artists is Rallo, Free Rallo. But I have to just accredit T.I. Now, many people said the word trap before because it's an Atlanta word. I said it in raps. Outkast said it. Goody Mob said it. Backbone said it. A lot of people said it. But T.I. and DJ Toomp had the foresight and the vision to make trap music an actual thing. And we always got to get credit while it's due because, you know, you always got a lot of other people want to talk to you, talk good about you when you're dead and gone. But I'd rather give people their roses while they're living. So shouts out to T.I. for doing it.
This is A.R. Shaw, journalist, lifestyle editor at Rolling Out Magazine, and the host of the Trap History Podcast. I got my man Maurice Garland here. What's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
Everything's good, man. This is a podcast. It's about the past, present, future of trap music. I kind of wanted to do it because it's like, man, it's like, you know, I had to get somebody from Atlanta, somebody who knows Atlanta. And we seen like this slang term because, you know, we were growing up, it was just slang. Like you just trap, right. It was in the trap. And then all of a sudden it's like, this thing where it's become this music genre that's morphed into this thing that's almost like this worldwide sensation.
Right.
I remember actually like being like overseas and this girl telling me they had like trap night over there in London. I'm like, trap night, what? You know what I'm saying? Right. It's just like, you know, something that was like coming from a small place like Atlanta. It just impacted the entire world. So for you, I want to actually kind of just start with you, though. Let people know who you are. You know, you've been in this game for years. Just give everybody a brief history about, you know, some of the things you've been doing in music and culture.
So my name's Maurice Garland. I have been a music journalist for 15 years now. I count the start date 2003. That's when I got my first check for it. You know what I'm saying? I was already writing before that, but yeah. I got my first check for it in 2003. At a place we both know, Rolling Out. And from there, you know, I started freelancing for Ozone Magazine, which was a Southern hip-hop magazine. I was the music editor there for a couple stints. Also did a lot of writing about Southern hip-hop and Atlanta hip-hop for Vibe Magazine, XXL Magazine, you know, for a few years there. I was probably the only person writing about Southern hip-hop in them damn magazines. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. As far as, like, you know, introducing. You know, a lot of times where the game would go is, like, I would be the one that would pitch the artist and get them that first look. Mm-hmm. But then when they blow up, they'd be like, we're going to get one of our guys to write the cover story. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But also went on to write for, like, you know, Billboard Magazine. What else? Been on TV a couple times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in the VH1.
In documentaries.
Yeah, the VH1 Rise of the ATL Rap Scene documentary. So like I've done some things. I've made a lot of contributions.
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I'm saying? Made a lot of contributions.
For yeah. sure, man. So, you know, it was important for me to have you out here. We're gonna talk about trap music and where it came from. And so this episode is was T.I.'s trap music, the beginning of trap music. There's a few things that you know, because a lot of people when they first, T.I.'s trap music, probably like a lot of people's first time hearing the term trap music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was smart in branding it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He was probably the first person on a major scale to brand it. So for you, like, when do you remember, I guess, first hearing the word trap and, like, you know, the whole things and then hearing trap music? Like, what did you, take me back to that time.
First time I heard the word trap was when I realized I was in one. Shit. Okay. You know what I'm saying? That's the first time I heard it. I was like, oh, damn, that's what this is called now? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, at one time it was just the dope house, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. But it's like, niggas started saying, you know, oh, we in the trap. In my trap.
Yeah.
You know, like, damn, I'm in a trap now. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So that's the first time I heard the term, and I was actually damn in one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, after that, you know, it was, that's what it was. Like, it wasn't in no ways connected to music, you know what I'm saying? The first times I was hearing that word, you know what I'm saying? You heard somebody in class or at the mall or just wherever you was at hearing that word, it's like, okay, I know what this gentleman does for his money now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I know, you know, what kind of neighborhood this person is living in now. You know what I'm saying? So it was, that's all it was. Trap was the damn dope house. Like, that was it. And, you know, some people, you know, as we all know, like, they take things and make their own meanings out of it. You know, saying, well, I mean, it ain't a trap just because, you know, sell drugs, man. I sell socks out of here. This is my trap. I sell T-shirts. I sell candy. You know, I'm running a legal operation. This is my trap. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, that's my earliest remembrance of the word is place where illegal drugs are being sold.
That's what it was, man. And I remember, I think I was probably like 12 or 13 when I first heard the term. You know what I'm saying? Like, people just like, yeah, we about to go to the trap.
Yeah.
And this is what we about to do.
Right.
And that's just what it was. It wasn't really, you know, you weren't really thinking about it, because Atlanta, we always had our own slang. Mm-hmm. You know, we said yeek. You know what
I'm saying? Right.
If you from Atlanta, you know yeek. If you were, I guess, like the 80s and the 90s, you know the term yeek. But if you ask somebody now what yeek mean, they're like, fuck is yeek, you know?
Or they'll, cause the word did kind of make a comeback around maybe like 3 or 4 years ago.
I was mentoring
some kids and they had like a song called Yeek. I think they were spelling theirs with a T,
though.
The
Yeets.
Yeah, so I was like, damn, all right, so I guess y'all done took something, you know what I'm saying, and made it something else, but
So, I mean, you know, so 2003, Tip drops Trap Music. This is after I'm Serious, which was, I mean, the album was okay. It was, but you could tell that the LaFace had a lot to do with I'm Serious, because they was trying to get him in the studio with Pharrell and Beanie Man, and he was kind of all over the place. And you didn't really know, you know, we knew he was from Atlanta, but you didn't really know. And then so that next time he was like, you know, 2003, I'm finna just make a straight trap album. This is about to be about Atlanta. 2003, so you first, you know, this like your first year in journalism. What do you remember most about that era? And I guess particularly in that when that album dropped.
I remember people just about getting tired of crunk music. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, crunk music had quite a run, you know what I'm saying, which was interesting, too, because, like, that was another thing that, like, had been around forever, but then it messed around and blew up, and it was everywhere, and, you know, Lil Jon making beats for, you know, Nas's brothers and shit, you know what I'm saying? So it was like it kind of got out of hand. And I remember a lot of people being tired of crunk music. They're like, man, I'm tired of this music, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like hearing this all the time when I go out. And so it was also an interesting time, because this was also around the time where, like, Outkast was starting to really become like a pop group, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were still rap to us, but, like, they were pretty much a pop group.
Yeah, people mainstream. They were mainstream.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, they were pretty much the only active and visible, like, Dungeon Family members. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you had Crunk at his peak, about to, you know what I'm saying, burn out. Then you had the Dungeon Family, which so many people credit as, you know, being the foundation of Atlanta hip-hop, kind of just not being very active anymore. So the space was there for a new voice to emerge. And, you know, dude struck lightning, you know what I'm saying? He had been putting in work for years before that, but, you know what I'm saying, like, when that trap music dropped, you know, the gates were wide open for a new voice, you know what I'm saying, with a new perspective of what Atlanta was really looking like at the time, you know what I'm saying? And what he was able to do also was, like, show a side of Atlanta that you might not have always gotten on the mainstream level. You know what I'm saying? Because at the time, you know, Atlanta, which it still does, Atlanta loves to pride itself in, oh, yeah, this is where black people can make it. And every black person got a house with a yard. We doing good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But, you know, when he kind of put it out there, like, this is how some of us are living, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, it ain't like that for everybody. Yeah. And, you know, that was like one of the first times that voice got out to the masses. Not that voice did not exist, you know what I'm saying, but that's the first time that voice, like, really got out to the masses. You know what I'm saying?
So I got a chance to interview Tip actually a couple months ago, and I asked him about trap music. We can play that clip. This is what he had to say about that album.
When you were creating this, like, in the basement creating Dope Boys of the Trap, did you envision that trap music would be so large?
I mean, I wasn't thinking about it. It was really about being a voice for the voices. It was really about representing people who I felt like weren't hearing their lives narrated through music. I mean, at the time, it was Crunk, Conscious, you know, and Booty Shake. Like, that's what it was at the time. You know what I'm saying? You was either Crunk like Lil Jon, or conscious, like Outkast, Goody Mob, and Dungeon, or you was Buddha Shame, you know, unless you was Ludacris, you know what I'm saying? He kind of, you know, morphed himself, he became a hybrid. But as far as people who lived like we were living, who came from what we came from, who endured the plights and obstacles that we overcame, they weren't being represented. Like, it wasn't nobody telling Dope Boy stories for real. Outkast would touch on it, so Goody Mob. But overall, they were very, very, very conscious, aware. Kind of, I'm talking about like real unadulterated. Now we're talking about shouting like that. Like, that wasn't being recognized in the city. So my purpose was just like, with Dope Boys in the Trap, it was really just, I'm gonna make a song for us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make a song that talks about us and how we live our lives and what we doing and this music that we wanna hear about shit that we go through. And that's what I set out to do.
Yeah, so that was Tip's explanation. Pretty much the same thing you said. Yeah,
it felt like we were taking words out of each other's mouth.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's crazy, right? So, yeah, he pretty much said the same thing you said. You know, he was showing this perspective. But, you know, there was a history of trap before even that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people don't know about the groups that came before him, like CMP, Causing Much Pain.
Ghetto Mafia.
Ghetto Mafia, straight
hard,
from the dick.
Hard Boys.
Yeah, Hard Boys.
You know what I'm saying? And, like, I've also heard it argued that, you know, albums like Slim Cutter Calhoun's first album, The Skinny, or Backbone's album, mm-hmm. Concrete Law, or even, you know, Cool Breeze's album. I've heard it been argued that, you know, these were the first trap music albums, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Yeah. This is what that energy came from. But like I said, you know, Tip, and also like how you just said, like, Tip was the one that kind of branded it mm-hmm. and got it out there. You know what I'm saying? The music and the themes are already being explored mm-hmm. and being explored pretty damn eloquently. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't garbage music. Like, it was mm-hmm. like, no, this is some good music too. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't branded. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So it probably wasn't considered, you know what I'm saying, as such. You get what I'm saying?
Let me ask you a question, man, mm-hmm. because, you know, for me, I'm like, I'm a true ATL dude now, and like I've been with ATL hip hop since I've been, you know, a kid. What's your perspective on Kilo Ali's Cocaine? Do you think that was an early version of trap? And for those who don't know, well, Kilo Ali was a bass music artist in the late '80s, early '90s. So what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I can't say that because, I mean, the idea of a trap was not even formulated back when that song came out. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I can call it something that didn't even exist back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, granted, he was openly talking about cocaine and the effects of it and everything, but I don't know if it would be accurate to say that, oh, that's the first trap song, because, like, the idea of a trap song mm-hmm. didn't even exist back then. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. I got something from Toomp. Toomp, he gave me a quote also about when they were making Dope Boys in the Trap, because mm-hmm. Dope Boys in the Trap was probably like the most street song from I'm Serious.
And what happened, like I said, when we did Dope Boys in the Trap, that still wasn't even considered as a trap song. Like, we never used that as a title. But once that song cracked through, and, you know, like, I guess you weren't really, really hearing just guys talk about, you know, hustling and drug dealing on the record, just straight up, you know, without, you know, uncensored. But I would say about a good 8 months passed, and that's when we came out with the mixtape. And we basically, after seeing the success on Dope Boys in the Trap, you know, we did a little independent video and everything, you know. Yeah, I don't know if y'all saw me at the beginning acting like I was L.A. Reid, man. It was kind of funny. We played that video to him too, man. And he snuck out the building on us, man. Yeah, we was like, yo, is L.A. coming back? We sat in there about an hour. That boy Mark Pitts came in there, was like, hey, man, you know, so I think he's done with the meeting. We were like, oh, we thought he was just taking, you know, a urine break or something. That man left the building and left me, Jason, Gita, Tip, sitting in there like, we played that video. I guess he was like, man, I done had enough, man. He dipped on it.
Y'all funded the video yourself, right?
Yeah.
They weren't funded.
Nah, he wasn't funded.
I mean, so y'all believe it was, did y'all believe in the song that much?
Yeah, we believed in it. Yeah, we believed in the record. Yeah, and that's why, you know. Yeah. Arnell Starr put it on there, you know, rest in peace. Yeah. Definitely shout out to Arnell Starr. He was the first one to really, you know, put it on, who believed in us, you know, as far as just playing a nice independent video. But actually, man, once we saw the type of crowds that we were attracting, you know, when you hit each city, you know, it's, you know, the Dope Boys show up, and it's, you know, they all crewed up. You can tell who's who. When you go to a city, you'll see the bottles, you know, see the VIP area, see the guys with the jewelry, they cars out front, you know, with the velvet ropes. Okay, that's the VIP area. Okay, these are the big boys in the city. And every city got those guys, you know what I mean, who's getting it. And it got to the point where every city we was hitting, man, the Dope Boys just wanted to holler at Tip. Like, hey, man, you know, we was kicking it with T.I. last night. Yeah. You know what I mean? They were true fans, you know, we was talking their talk. And that's why we decided to go on and make an album, you know, catering to the whole lifestyle of trapping.
I'm Serious came out when I was going, I went to Fort Valley State University. I can't remember which year it was for me because, you know, like so many other folks, it took me 5 to get out of there, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I can't say. It was my senior year. It was either year 4 or 5, okay, you know what I'm saying, that I was down there. And I remember, like, my younger brother, he was starting. So I wound up kind of like mentoring a lot of freshmen. And it's like, you know, I was aware of T.I. because he had the song on the Shaft soundtrack with Benny Siegel. And I remember that time him and I-20 were freestyling on the record. You know what I'm saying? So I was familiar with the guy. And like, but when the album came out, it was just one of them albums because, like, I mean, I'm talking about I'm Serious here. It's like, it didn't, like, cause, like, it didn't, you know, it didn't, like, you know what I'm saying, make an impact. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, one of them albums that came out, like, oh, yeah, I heard
cool,
that shit.
Yeah, like, it's a cool album, right?
It was cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I liked some songs on there, and I did. I liked some songs on there, you know what I'm saying? And, but I do remember Dope Boys in the Trap and the Do It Baby Stick It Baby. Like, that, yeah, those were the two songs that, like, took off. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I was like, dang, like, all right, so those songs are going to do something for this guy. I don't know what yet, because, you know, they were pushing the Beanie Siegel song. I mean, the Beanie Man song, which I liked. I'm Serious. And I remember they were pushing the Pharrell song, the Pussy Pump Number One, another song that I'm like, I mean, these are good songs. I mean, they're granted, they are obviously, you know, swings to knock it out the park. But, you know, like, I like those songs. But to hear those two songs in particular, like, the most trappiness of the songs and the other one that was, you know, clearly a booty shake type song be the ones that took. I thought that spoke a lot for him as an artist because it's like they obviously tried to put out glossy, shiny songs for this guy, but the two that nobody was thinking about are the ones that took off and like really made people like, I'm a fan of this guy. Yeah. I like this guy. You know what I'm saying? These are the two songs you need to be paying attention to.
Yeah, and it's so crazy. Like, I talked to L.A. Reid like years later, and he was, you know, he talked about, he's like, he didn't know what trap was. Like, L.A. Reid was, it's just foreign to him. Like,
I'm gonna be honest. I don't even know if I'm qualified, right? What I know is artists, right? I know the artists that I love, and I know the artists that I desire to work with. And whether it was Outkast, whether it was T.I., or whether it's Future right now, or, you know, it's, I love, there's something about, something in the water in Atlanta, something in that red clay in Atlanta that's just special, you know. So I don't think of it in terms of, I can't give it a name. Like, if you know me, you will know that I don't even know sometimes if a song is like a black song or a pop song. Am I lying? I don't even know the difference. I don't know. I thought Bob's Over Baghdad was hip hop. Didn't somebody said it was a rock song? So I put it on the rock radio station. You know? So I don't see life in boxes. So all I know is that those artists are incredible. And I'm really fortunate and honored to be able to work with them.
For L.A. Reid, is like, you know, he comes from a guy, he's a guy who wants big records. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's what he gets paid for, the big records. So at that time, like, you know, trap really wasn't, you know, it was some street shit, but it really wasn't, like, on some big records. It wasn't a big record. Like, was there any street, like, street songs from Atlanta that kind of even popped back then? Maybe Dirty South? I don't even know if there was any street songs that even made it.
Yeah, not really. Like, most street songs that came out of Atlanta kind of stayed in 285. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might make its way to Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina, Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it wasn't just being consumed nationally. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you went outside of Georgia, like, nobody could tell you nothing about Hitman Sammy Sam.
Yeah.
But we could tell you everything about him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They weren't, you know, so, like, those, that kind of music, you know what I'm saying? Even, like, the stuff that, you know, the rest of the Big Oomph camp was making, you know what I'm saying? Like, Intoxicated and all them and Loco. It's like, we knew exactly who these people were. We knew exactly where they were from, what they represented. But it wasn't really going outside of Georgia, you know what I'm saying?
It's interesting that you say that, you bring up Intoxicated. I actually played that song. I played Big one of the track. They got that Walk It song.
Yeah,
I played it for some millennials. They ain't never heard of Big Oomph or anything. It's like, oh, wow. They was like, Migos, then Migos took that hook. It's like the same that Walk It.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So it's like, you're right. So why do you think that, you know, what was the thing that kind of made Atlanta street rap mainstream? Because they had been, like you said, we had the Ghetto Mafias. And how did it get to a point where it became mainstream?
Well, like, it needed to be branded, which T.I. accomplished with trap music. And, you know, I'm going to compare this to, like, civil rights movement, right? So it's like, let me make the point first. Right. T.I. did a good job and branded it, and it didn't hurt that, you know, he was a cool guy. You know what I'm saying? Dudes rocked with him, girls liked him. You know what I'm saying? He was a cool guy. He was pretty fly. He was a cool guy. You know, you couldn't really say the same of Ghetto Mafia. You're like, man, yeah, those niggas look kind of rough, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It was straight from the dick.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like those things, like, you couldn't really package that, you know what I'm saying, to be consumed by people that may not understand it. You know what I'm saying? So what I was saying, I was going to compare it to, like, how, you know, you had people like your Martin Luther Kings and your Malcolm X's as the faces of the civil rights movements, but it's like, they weren't doing all the work, you know what I'm saying? Or even Jesse Jackson to a degree. It's like, they were the most, you know, studious, you know what I'm saying, approachable looking guys, you know what I'm saying, well spoken, always looked nice, you know what I'm saying? It's like, they couldn't just have Hosea Williams leading the charge, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, right, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, T.I. was a guy where it's like, okay, like, he looks pretty sharp, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, this can be kind of packaged. Like, this is a cool face to have on that, you know what I'm saying, at that time. Because, you know, you couldn't be a person like, you know, like I said, I keep saying Sammy Sam. It's like, you know, you couldn't really package a Sammy Sam.
Okay.
Like, the same way that you could package a T.I. You know what I'm saying? T.I. could sell the trap. He could also sell the sex element, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's why the music, you know, was able to blow, because he did a good job in branding it, and it didn't hurt being him and just being him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Nah, that's a real thing, man. Cause I mean, did you ever think that, like, you know, it was gonna, like, get to the point where it's this big? Where of course you got the EDM spinoff or whatever you call that, and then you got, like, different versions of trap. Like, they got this trap movement in Asia. I don't know, have you ever heard, like, this kid, Rich Chigga,
yeah. I've heard a lot of those Asian artists. Like some of it's cool, you know. So it's still kind of, you know, weird to look at sometimes, you know what I'm saying. But some of it is cool, you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I'm familiar with some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but are you, so you're asking me, like, did I think, like, it was gonna turn into this phenomenon?
This thing where you're right, like, it was so good and so street that it took a almost refined person to bring it to the masses. Mm-hmm. Where it's now international, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? How did they get to, like, point A to all the way Z? Like, how did they get there?
That's a good question, because I can't say that. I mean, I was surprised, being that, you know, I saw, like, you, like, how we start the conversation, seeing trap go from just, this is a drug house, to now, this is a brand of music. Like, I'm surprised in that degree, but when you look at just how things in hip hop come and go, it's like, things like that are destined to blow, because, like, people like rawness. That's the same reason why N.W.A. became a phenomenon. Yeah. But it also has to be packaged a certain way too. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason why N.W.A. is like, oh, but, you know, Ghetto Boys, not so much. Essentially, it's essentially the same music, you know what I'm saying?
Same.
But it's like you got, oh wow, this Eazy-E guy and these rest of the guys, they got a look. You know, Ghetto Boys, you got a midget with one eye running around, you know what I'm saying?
So Willie D.
You know, so it's like, I can't say that I'm too surprised that it turned into a phenomenon, because, you know, it's always the rawest stuff in hip hop that usually goes the farthest, because everybody's like, I want a piece of that. Mm. I want to feel what that's like, because I don't live like that. I want to feel this for 3 minutes and 53 seconds on my way to work. You know what I'm saying?
To feel some black pain, huh? Like.
Right. You know, and we all know, like, black pain sells, black death sells. Hell, like, we 20-something years later, we still got Tupac and Biggie documentaries coming out on multiple channels.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we all know how the story ends. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, goddamn, y'all still selling this story?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So to that degree, I can't say I'm too surprised, because, like, most of the times, the rawest things, the blackest things, the darkest things in hip-hop are the things that usually go the farthest. Mm. You know, because some people can relate to it in their own ways, and some people, they just want a piece of it because they have, like, no connection to it. You know what I'm saying?
So, before we wrap up, just what do you think that trap music, where does it stand? Like, you know, when you talk about, like, albums from Atlanta, albums this period, like, what do you think that album stand? First of all, do you think that was his best album? Do you think that was his best work?
Well, I think that was his best album.
Do you think it works?
I would probably say that King is probably his best album. It's not my favorite, but I would probably
most
say it's
significant,
like,
right?
Yeah, it's the most significant, you know what I'm saying? It's like he was making well-rounded songs, you know what I'm saying? He was making hooks, he was making hits, so you have to say that that's his best. Trap music, you know, it was like one of those, like, that's like the, what did I say, like that's the seminal T.I. album, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you can have differing opinions about it. So, like, I don't know if I would say that it's his best album, but, like, it's the best that he could make at the time, if that makes sense, you know what I'm saying? Like, he did a great job at introducing you to exactly who he was, you know what I'm saying? He had a very clear focus. He was like, man, this is the stamp that I'm, this is my flag, this is who I am, this is how we rocking, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I would put it up there to be, you know, mentioned among, like, classic Atlanta albums, because it's like, you know, it did represent a moment, you know what I'm saying?
It did
represent a moment, and it grew into a movement after, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. I think King was probably, like, his most, and if he had the ATL movie that dropped that same, it was just so much happening for him, and that was, like, his, like, mainstream moment where he kind of took off. When trap music came out, it was like, okay, this is a street album, you know what I'm saying? This is really what he is.
I didn't even know that album was going to, quote unquote, blow up when it came out, you know what I'm saying? Cuz it came out on the heels of him leaving LaFace and dropping all those In the Street mixtapes, and you're like, okay, so he signed another record deal. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it kind of seemed like almost the same things were about to happen again, because I remember, like, right when he signed with Atlantic, like, they threw him on, like, a Little Kim remix to a song, and it was like, damn, like, they already got on Jumping Through Hoops, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so then with, like, you know, 24s come out, you know, 24s come out, comes out, you know, it's like, ah, this cool song sounds like a continuation of what he's been on, and the album comes out, you're like, okay, this is cool, you know what I'm saying? But I didn't know it was just gonna, like, turn into what it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, there were some great songs on there, but, you know, just seeing where he had came from, you didn't know it was gonna, like, happen like that, especially with I'm Serious not making the impact that I'm pretty sure that they wanted it to make at the time, you know what I'm saying?
So, Maurice Garland, man, I appreciate you for taking the time out
and
giving us a little history lesson, trap history lesson.
This was fun, man. This was fun.
Really appreciate it. So, man, just let everybody know where you at. You guys still doing the hip hop trivia every Wednesday night, right?
Yeah, we're doing a hip hop trivia ATL every Wednesday at Jack's Pizza. You know, another way that, you know, I'm able to contribute to the culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Every Wednesday, different themes every week. You know, the team wins a prize, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's fun, man, you know what I'm saying? It's another way to experience hip-hop culture if, like, you're over going to the club to hear music, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's actually a for like intellectual hip hop fans, and you know, even people that don't know anything about hip hop, they walk out learning something new. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like that's where you can find us, man. At Hip Hop Trivia ATL on all the social media channels.
That's what it is, man. Maurice Garland, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
This trap history.